Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Prayer. That's the subject that we want to talk about on the second half of the program today. You know, the Bible obviously says much about the subject of prayer. When we read through the book of Acts, somebody has once said that the church moved forward on their knees. We find them praying in a number of different locations, praying in homes, praying on the streets, praying on the beach, praying in the synagogues, praying in the prison. We find them praying everywhere that they went in the book of Acts. Well, there's a brand new book out that helps us to understand what prayer is and how to pray better. The book is entitled Pray About Everything. Cultivating God Dependency is the subtitle of that book. It's published by Shepherd Press. That's www.shepherdpress.com. And the author is Paul Touches. On the website at shepherdpress.com, it says this. It says, in this book, a seasoned pastor and counselor answers these questions, and these were the questions they're referring to. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? How do I pray for my non-Christian friends? When does the Holy Spirit pray for me? So it says that this pastor and counselor answers these questions and many more by effectively instructing us with biblical principles, examples, and commands. By doing so, he encourages us to develop a life of prayer. Pastors, elders, and small group leaders will find this book an indispensable help to cultivate an atmosphere of God dependency in their local church. I mentioned that the author is Paul Touches. Paul serves as a senior pastor at Cornerstone Community Church in Mayfield Heights, Ohio. He is also the author of many other books, including Comfort the Grieving, Counseling One Another, and Brass Heavens. And he serves as the series editor for a mini book series called Lifeline, very helpful little mini books. And he's the series editor for that. Paul blogs regularly out at counselingoneanother.com. That's counselingoneanother.com. And you can find out more about Paul out there and read some of his writings there as well. Paul, welcome back to the Knowing the Truth radio program.
Oh, thanks so much, Kevin. It is always a pleasure to be with you.
Well, Paul, I think it starts off this way in the introduction in the book, or at least in the foreword for it, I should say. It says, which, by the way, for our listening audience, was written by Jerry Bridges, the late Jerry Bridges. And so what an honor to have Jerry Bridges write the foreword for your book. But he starts off this way. He says, why another book on prayer? Maybe that's a good place to start our discussion today. Paul, why another book on prayer?
Well, I find that prayer, obviously, first of all, is a subject that cannot be exhausted. There's always room for us to be growing. But in my reading of books on prayer, I found that there are some weaknesses or some holes, you might say, out there, one of which is many of the books on prayer are experience-based rather than just clearly based on the teaching of Scripture as far as how we are to pray and examples from Scripture concerning prayer. But also, I think that we are, as evangelicals, we've become very pragmatic, not only in local church ministry, but also just in our Christian lives. We're always looking for the easy how-to, 10 steps to this and 6 steps to that, And I think that we're missing what I'd like to call a culture of God dependency, which used to, in prior generations, I think, be reflected by the regular practice of prayer together as a church. I think that's something that have lost to a degree, or at least are losing, and I would like to call the church back to that spirit of being dependent upon God, which is modeled through prayer.
Mm-hmm. You know, most of the time when you read through books like yours here on whatever subject it's on, it takes a little bit to get to the nugget, you know, what the real point is or the core of this. But you kind of give it away right in the very beginning, and I find it refreshing, actually, and then build on it from there. And the nugget that I'm referring to is, you say, prayer, an expression of God dependency. That's really, I think, in my studies about prayer and different sermons that I have preached about that subject and, you know, pored over the scriptures, looking at, you know, what's the key here? What's the real core issue that we're dealing with? I come to the same conclusion. It's an expression of God dependency. So let me tell our listening audience here today that the book is broken up into two sections. Part one deals with that as the heading in that section, prayer and expression of God dependency. And then part two gives brief meditations for prayer meetings. Paul, if you would, expound a little bit about what people will find in that the shorter part there, setting it up in the beginning in part one, under that heading of prayer as an expression of God dependency.
Yeah, Kevin, what I try to deal with there is show that prayer is more than a duty or spiritual discipline. That it is, and I don't mean to minimize that at all, but it is also a reflection of the condition of our heart. It is a reflection of the attitude of our heart. And what I try to do in that first section is show, first of all, that in the early church, the believers were not self-sufficient people. They were God-sufficient. And I think that in contrast to us today, at least in my own life, I find that when I am weak in prayer, when I'm not praying, what that really is a reflection of my attitude that I can handle things myself. It's pride. It's self-sufficiency. I'm regularly rebuked by Samuel's statement in the Old Testament where he says, God forbid that I should sin against him by ceasing to pray. And I think that we have dumbed down the seriousness of prayerlessness. I think when we are willing to come to the point of saying, my prayerlessness is sin before God, that is when perhaps we will begin to change. And so what I try to do is show in the book of Acts how the early church spent a lot of time together, and one of the things they put a high priority on is prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And touch on one of the simple commands of the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians 5, where we are told to pray without ceasing. Mm. And I take that verse in its context, of a larger section of about three verses, to show what it really means for us to pray without ceasing, to pray constantly. Obviously, it doesn't mean we quit our jobs and we all, get down on our knees for 24 hours a day. But it's a posture of the heart. And I believe that what God is calling us to is to have a posture of heart that is totally dependent upon him, that we truly would believe what Jesus said, that apart from me, you can do nothing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. I'm glad you brought that out. You know, just this past week, I was been preaching through the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians, and we were in 1 Thessalonians 2, and the verse there in verse 13 says this, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing." So Paul is returning back to what he had started in chapter 1 about his prayer of praise to God for the work that was done in the lives of the Thessalonians. And again, there he talks about, you know, praying without ceasing in that passage. And I made the similar point, you know, that you talked about an attitude of dependency. Well, since he had thanksgiving in here and it was a prayer of praise, I was speaking about that what that is saying to us is we should have an attitude of gratitude to God for all that he has done. And I think that mixed with this, as you were pointing out here, an attitude of dependency, that apart from him, we can do nothing. Those types of mindsets or overriding principles, life-governing principles, they make a huge difference on the actual application of things in the rest of the life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that for all of us, you know, for most of us as believers, I think that we are quick to admit that prayer is one of the weaker areas of our life.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't do anything about it. We admit that, and we, you know, we maybe even ask someone else, you know, pray for me. My prayer life isn't really what it ought to be. Well, you know, I'm somewhat weary of hearing that, and I'm kind of weary of myself saying it. And that is, you know, it's time for us to stop saying that prayer is a weak part of our lives and a weak part of the life of our churches.
Mm.
And let's start doing something about it.
Mm. And what do you think, then, is some of the major obstacles that are involved? Do you think, you know, people are intimidated? I just don't know what to say or what to pray. You know, okay, I can go before God and give my laundry list of the things that are going on in my life and what I'd like him to do about these things and so forth, but after that, you know, after a few minutes of that, I'm pretty much all prayed out, and so I don't understand, you know, how I could be more involved in prayer. Do you think that's a major obstacle, something along that line?
I do think that is part of it. I think there's a lack of instruction, a lack of understanding about prayer and what prayer is and the importance of prayer. But I also think that we have forgotten that that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have a father-child relationship with God. And that is a relationship that has to be cultivated. It isn't something that is automatic. I mean, it's like any other relationship that we have. If it isn't cultivated regularly through two-way communication, then it's going to be a weak relationship. And so what I like to say to my congregation, which I said even in fact this last Sunday morning as I began a little sermon series on prayer, is I said, the two-way communication that we have with God is God speaks to us through his word, but we speak to him through prayer. And for that relationship with God to be really thriving and fruitful, it has to be both ways.
Mm-hmm.
There needs to be that we need to be reading our Bibles and studying our Bibles and hearing from God, but we also need to be responding back to God in prayer about what he is
mm-hmm.
teaching us in his word and about what we're going through in life and what our needs are and thanksgiving and praise for all that he has done. It's a living, breathing relationship that has to be cultivated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well said. In that first section, then, you lay out, you know, kind of the foundation for it then. And part two, you talk about, you know, the brief meditations for the prayer meeting, which I see just as being kind of more practical helps as to things to think about very specifically as you're thinking about going to God in prayer. I want to read a few of those and get you to expound upon them. They all seem very interesting. I wish we could go through them all, but I'll just select a couple of them. Before I do, I just want to remind listeners that we're speaking with Paul Tauches about his brand new book called Pray About Everything, Cultivating God Dependency. The book is published by Shepherd Press, and their website is www.shepherdpress.com. You know, Shepherd Press, I'm just going to make this plug here about some of their books. Not only are they on very good subjects and very well written and very interesting and theologically sound works that they put out, but the prices are really good. This is really priced really well, not only for you to get it for yourself, but then if you're going to start a group at church. Paul said that he was starting to speak through a series of sermons on this subject. You know, if you wanted to reinforce that or have a small group study or something, the price here right now, it's only $8.95, which is extremely reasonable, especially in this day and age with the price of books has gone up in some cases. So I think that that's great. Again, you can get it out at shepherdpress.com, and that's where you can get a copy of the book that we're talking about today. Paul, the opening one in that, what I referred to as a little bit more practical part or the application of what you're talking about, it says praying in Jesus' name is the first one that's there. And this has been one of my pet peeve, for lack of a better term, that, you know, it seems to me that people just attach that at the end of the prayer as some sort of essential magical part of the formula that we have to say. And if you leave that off, then your prayer won't get answered. So we have to make sure we include that at the end. But there's much more in that, right, than praying in Jesus' name.
Absolutely. In fact, that's one of the reasons why I try to teach my congregation through example on Sunday mornings when I lead them in prayer. Sometimes I will begin praying in Jesus' name rather than ending, because I want to subtly teach and remind everyone that to pray in Jesus' name means to acknowledge that it is the work of Christ that has opened the door to prayer, that there is no way that we can pray apart from the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, because there is that sin barrier between us and God. And so Jesus has opened the door. He's thrown the door open, so to speak, to the throne of grace. And it's just an incredibly rich thought. It also means to pray in Jesus' name really means to pray in submission to his will. In other words, I'm praying in Jesus' name, recognizing that his word has authority over my life, that what I really want God to do in answering my prayer is that which will bring him the most glory.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a heart of submission, rather than just tacking on those three words at the end of our prayers as, like you said, it's just kind of a guaranteed ticket that, okay, now we've done our duty, God has to answer us. It is really is more of a reflection of a heart that says, Lord, I recognize I have no righteousness of my own by which to enter your presence, but I come to you in the name of Jesus, in the authority of Jesus Christ, through his work, and I praise you that you hear me because of that. And then we show ourselves to be submissive to the will of God,
mm-hmm.
which of course means being willing to for God to answer our prayers with a no or a wait rather than a yes.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you talked about God's glory being, you know, our first thought. I think in the pattern prayer that was given to us by Christ, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, is the first petition. Most people say, well, that's just part of the address. No, it's actually the first petition, that God's name would once again be hallowed, that it would be thought of and spoken of with the respect to the reverence that it deserves. And that's the the initial request that is made there. How many of us start off our request that way? And also thinking about what you mentioned there with, you know, the Lord answering our prayers or not answering our prayers, sometimes silence, two things. One, I think sometimes this is something that I find myself doing, and I try to catch myself on this, but I find myself dictating to the Almighty in my prayer how I feel the prayer should be answered. You know, just do this, Lord, just do this. And, you know, I'm like, who am I? You know, I'm to tell him what I feel the best way to work this out would be. I mean, it's ridiculous. And then you talked about the Lord not answering and likened it with Christ. I can't help but thinking about Christ in the garden, where if there's any other way, you know, remove this cup from me, and yet he hears nothing in return. You know, you talk about brass heavens in your other book, and he hears nothing, but he concludes from that that the answer is that, you know, there is no other way. This is the way that it needs to go, of course.
Right.
And then he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. So he not only tells us how to supplicate God in that section, but how to submit to God's will at the end. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Just remarkable passages, right?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great reminder, Kevin.
You know, your section here after that then speaks about praying for unbelievers. Let our listening audience know a little bit about what you write in that section.
Sure. That's where I take a few verses out of the Gospel of John where Jesus is promising to send the Holy Spirit. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit will do is he will convict the world of righteousness. Of sin and of the coming judgment. Mm. And so I take that passage and I develop it to demonstrate that we need to go beyond saying, Lord, please save my neighbor, to praying specifically for the Holy Spirit to do his work of conviction, to convict that person of God's righteousness and thereby their unrighteousness, their sin. In other words, that they would be like Isaiah, and they would see that before the holy God, they are undone. They are a person of unclean lips. They need the forgiveness of God. Also, that we would pray that the Holy Spirit will bring to their minds the reality that there is a coming judgment. You know, we are a culture, probably more than any other culture, we are living for the here and the now with almost no thought of eternity. Mm-hmm. And that is, sadly, it's true of a lot of people in the church, but most definitely outside the church, unbelievers. We need to pray the Holy Spirit would open their eyes, see God's righteousness, their sin, and the fact that there is a coming judgment, and that would cause them to begin to question whether or not they're right with God.
Mm-hmm.
The ministry of the Holy Spirit in our prayer lives, I think, is one of those areas of teaching we haven't really explored all that much. That's why I actually spend more time in chapter 9 on that subject.
Mm-hmm.
from Romans 8, and when does the Holy Spirit pray for us, and how does he pray for us? I don't know if you've had these experiences, Kevin, but you just feel so much the weight of something that's going on in your life that you cry out to God, but you don't even know what to say.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps you've prayed for the same thing 1,000 times, and you just feel like, Lord, there's got to be something different I could say. And I think that there are times like that, according to Romans 8, there are times like that.
Yes.
In which the Holy Spirit silently prays for us. And the beauty of that passage is that it ends with the promise that because the Holy Spirit is God, he knows the mind of God, he knows the will of God, therefore when he prays for us, he always prays according to the will of God, which means his prayers always get answered.
Amen. Amen. That's a good point. I was going to ask you about that final one because we only had a couple minutes left, but I was thinking about that coupled with the comment that's made before we get the pattern prayer from the Lord. He says your Father already knows what you have need of before you pray. So why pray if he already knows and the Holy Spirit, you know, is praying for us? He can certainly pray a lot better than I can pray. Why pray? And the answer to that, as you give it away in the beginning, is because it increases our God dependency. You know, it's an act of faith to come before him and to say, you know, I don't have all the answers. I don't know which way to go. I don't have the power within me to do these things that need to be done. But thou art Lord, O Lord, thou hast the power and the wisdom and the strength, and thou art it's your glory that's being unfolded here and so forth. And so we look to thee to do that work. Paul, let me give you the final word. We have just about a minute left, but let me give you a moment here to be able to just speak to the listening audience directly about why prayer is so important and why they should get a copy of this book.
Yes, well, prayer is important first because it is a command of God. It is a duty of the Christian. But more than that, it is the one and only means by which we have to communicate to our loving Heavenly Father through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And therefore, it's one of the chief ways that we cultivate our relationship with God. We listen to Him by reading His Word and listening to teaching on His Word, but we talk to Him through prayer. And if we want fruitful, vibrant Christian lives, relationships with God, then we must cultivate this atmosphere of God dependency. And so I really encourage you to copy of Pray About Everything. If you have prayer group leaders in your church, consider getting them a copy as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right now on the Shepherd Press website, not only do you get the book at a substantial discount, but they're also throwing the ebook in for free.
Oh, praise the Lord.
You buy the print copy, which comes out next week. It'll come back from the printers next week. They will then email you a digital copy for your Kindle or your iPad or whatever you read on.
Paul, thank you so much for being with us today. ShepherdPress.com is where you can get a copy of the book. Thanks for listening today.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth. To keep this ministry strong and coming your way, you can make a financial gift at knowingthetruth.org by clicking on the donate button.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.